Hey, babe, it's Paige. I'm so grateful you're here. This podcast audience of awesome women is growing with every episode, and I'm dying to connect with you personally. So if you'd like to chat, text the word pivot to my new number, 213-325-4600. There you can enter your contact info and you'll immediately find helpful links for some one-on-one support in either getting organized or making your next pivot with confidence. Again, you can text the word pivot, P-I-V-O-T, to 213-325-4600. And that number will also be linked in all the show notes. Then we can start a conversation about how I can support you these days. I can't wait to talk to you soon and join forces because we are better together. Enjoy today's episode. Hey, I'm Paige Killian, founder and CEO of Everything with Style. I've built a business helping busy moms of littles get organized in three simple steps. Like many of my clients, I love being a mom, and I also desire more. If you've ever felt that stirring in your heart, that whisper or really loud voice that keeps you up at night, then you are in the right place, because this is not a solo mission. Whether you're a little curious or totally ready to be a mom, boss, and use your God-given gifts to serve others, step into your calling, turn your passions into purpose, and still make it to the carpool line on time, then girlfriend, it's time to pivot. I've got you. Now let's get started. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Time to Pivot podcast. I could not be more excited for today's guest. We have really both been very committed to making this happen. We have had to, I see you already laughing and smiling. We have had to reschedule a couple of times, and I just confessed to her that I actually ate a not great salad a couple of days ago. It got the best of me, and I was like, I must get better in time. I am not going to reschedule for a third time. In all of the podcast episodes that I've done, from the Moms Organization Motivation Podcast or the Time to Pivot Podcast, I have had to reschedule one time. And I was like, we are not doing this again. I'm so thrilled to have Rayanne Lacatina here with me today. We were laughing about making sure that I said her name correctly because that is important. I also, by the way, you would think Paige would be something simple, but inevitably it gets misspelled all the time and there's no I in Paige somehow. And I'm like, no, Paige, P-A-I-G-E. So I totally understand. How did I do? Did I say it correctly?
Perfectly.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Okay. Thank you so much for being here today, Rayanne. I'm so thrilled you're here. We actually met through a dear friend of ours and our book publisher, Samantha Joy. Got to give her a shout out, right?
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam. We love you, Sam. She's the best. And she brought us together. She needed me to step in and have a author to author conversation with you a little while back, just to make sure things were running smoothly with your book. And we hit it off right away. And then ever since then, I've stalked you like a crazy person. Yes, I'll admit it. And following you on Instagram, and I have found that you are just putting really awesome stuff out into the world. And I just basically begged you. Thankfully, I didn't have to do too much begging, but begged you to come on. I said, please, can you come on? Can we talk about your steer clear method and the way that you're teaching these people all these awesome things, and talk to us about what it's like to be an entrepreneur and all these things and how you've pivoted in life. So with no further ado, thank you so much for being here, Rayanne. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. What a generous and kind introduction, Paige. I'm doing wonderfully. Yes. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad. And we were both talking about how mom life is real. So while we have that business side of us, mom life tends to take precedence. And we both have kids home who are sick today. So we were like, is this going to happen? Are we going to reschedule?
Talk about a pivot. You got to do it every single day, every single moment as a mom.
Absolutely.
And as an entrepreneur.
100%. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Tell me a little bit about your background and what you do, all the different things that you're juggling in your life right now.
Sure. Yes. So I started my career as a mental health therapist 20 years ago at this point. So I've been in personal development now for a long time. I always knew that I wanted to be a helper. I didn't exactly know what that meant when I started my career. And it has really sort of unfolded in a lot of surprising and beautiful ways, lots of pivots along the way, if you will. Yep. So started as a mental health therapist. I worked in pediatric palliative care for the first part of my career. And I learned so much during that process. I also then moved into business coaching eventually, and I integrated all the things that I learned both in my original part of my career and mental health counseling into what it means to be a business owner. And that's why I call myself a holistic business coach. I also picked up along the way a Reiki certification. And so that's really a holistic picture. I have the feminine side of things in business, which is collaboration, coordination, energy, receivership, fun, joy, adventure, spontaneity. Those are all important parts of business that often get left out. And that's part of what I bring to the table for the business owners that I serve. But then also, we do need to pay attention to the numbers, the revenue, the production, the key performance indicators, all of those more masculine sides of business as well. And so over my career, because of my different experiences, I've been able to integrate both of those into what I offer for the people that I serve.
That is so fantastic and so needed. And I do feel like, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the masculine and the feminine, because I do think sometimes, as feminine as I can be in many ways, there are also moments where I feel like I have this drive, this do not stop, must get to the next thing. And I don't know that that's necessarily masculine. You could tell me if you believe
it is.
Okay.
It's not a gender or sex thing. It's really an energy piece that is the masculine, and we all have both inside of us. Yes.
Okay. I love that you clarified that, because yes, I have often heard this sort of differentiation, and I think, gosh, I feel like I'm a little bit of both of those things. And I would imagine that that makes for a great entrepreneur, because you do need to have that balance of those things. And I've definitely heard, and what I feel like has always been something that I strive to do better in, is knowing those numbers. It is really important to know those numbers and know, is this thing that I'm about to take a chance on going to be beneficial in my business? Is it one of those things? I mean, even pricing, you know, you coach and things like that. One side of me, as a professional organizer who goes into moms' homes, I feel like sometimes I identify with what they're going through. And I found myself in the beginning of being a business owner in that career, wanting just to give them free everything. Free advice, stay at their house extra long, give them extra hours, help them out, give them discounts on my services and that type of thing, because I just loved them. I just really wanted to make sure that the needs that they had were met. And if ever there was any question if that was going to work out, I just wanted them to know, hey, I'm going to undercharge and overdeliver. And for a long time, that's what I said. And what I realized is that wasn't really serving. I think in some ways it was serving my heart, but at the end of the day, it wasn't serving my business. And I realized when I made this shift and a pivot, because we got to say that word on this episode, right? We're on this podcast, we just have to talk about the pivot. When I made that big mental pivot of like, hey, I'm selling myself short, and I know that some of the things that I'm doing are helpful, and I'm not pricing my services accordingly, and I'm giving away too much, and I'm not being compensated for that. I was really at war with that for a long time. And I'm not going to lie, Ryan, and I would imagine, I would love for you to speak to this too. Do you ever find that you sort of get over a hurdle with your clients, or even you personally, and then sometimes they come back around and you feel like, again, like, ah, I already worked on that, and I thought I was okay. And now it's coming back again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that idea of wanting to help people, a lot of this, it's a very common feminine story as a business owner, the service professional, the person who's the helper, the one who wants to be the savior, to fix things, that's coming from a heart-centered, mission-driven place. But when we really look at it more carefully, these women are also coming to you because they see you as a possibility model. They see you as someone that they want to strive to be more like. They see you as a resource. And it's not just that moment, those services and skills that you're bringing to the table in that moment, it's the long-term trajectory of what's possible for what you bring into their lives. And so if you undercharge, then it undervalues what you're doing. And if you undercharge, it gives the impression that they have to go through that journey and that story of undercharging and battling in the way that you did for so long. But if you price yourself appropriately, it becomes a respect piece and a thriving piece for the people that you serve. They want to be able to emanate more of what you've done in your life as a result. Like, if she can charge that much, then I can too. And there's so much more to it. Every single person has a different set of limiting beliefs around these different things. It is a very common one for the female entrepreneur to undercharge for themselves. And yes, it often becomes this looping phenomenon. I call it spiral learning, where we will go back to these lessons. And sometimes we spiral up into the higher version of ourselves, the more evolved version of ourselves, or even the transcendent version of ourselves. And sometimes we spiral down, but either way, we're working at the different layers of these limiting beliefs. And when we come to a new phase of our career or our life or our trajectory, it makes sense that we'll come back to some of these very core, deep-rooted stories that exist inside of us and have to develop a new relationship with an old story. It's not a perfect science for myself personally. You know, you said, does that happen to me? Of course it does. It's not a perfect science where it always happens. But now when I see these spirals back to my drama or the stories that I hold in my head, I kind of get excited because I'm like, we're going to this next phase of our evolution. When I see those old parts of myself, I invite them in now instead of resist them, because that's when the spiral gets smaller and smaller. We can see those stories, greet them, and move on up much quickly as we ask those parts of ourselves, what do you need right now? What are you trying to remind me of? What are you trying to protect me from? And how can I move on out the door as quickly as possible so I can get on the other side of this evolution? And so it's not a bad thing to spiral back to old belief systems, as long as you don't spiral down or get stuck in that pattern of growth. It is actually really productive to be able to move through them at different layers of our evolution.
This is so important to hear right now. And also, I have to tell you, I'm making a mental note to put you on my list, my very short list of people that I need to reach out to and run my TEDx talk past you, because I am in the middle right now of talking about how, when you talked about that resistance and how we can actually flip it and be excited when change comes up and know if that anxiety starts brewing, it's like, wait a second, this doesn't have to be a bad thing. This could actually be something that's telling us something new and exciting is on the way. And instead of resisting that change, we embrace that change and we figure out a way to pivot with confidence when things are uncertain. That's what's so scary, right? Because we don't always know what's on the other side of taking a big leap. And I find that with entrepreneurs, that's kind of one of those things. It's kind of like if you're an actor, which, good heavens, I was one of those for a while too. I'm like still a Screen Actors Guild member. And it's so funny because when you are an actor, some people might think you're a glutton for punishment because you're going to have no after no. You're going to have critique after critique. Even when I was a theater major in college, you could do a scene really well. I mean, it could go on and people would be like, yay, great, wonderful. But when you've got those teachers around you, they're going to give you that good critique to make it even better. And so instead of us sort of fighting and resisting, maybe we lean into, okay, this might be hard right now. This might be uncomfortable right now, but how can I lean into this and really embrace it so that I can then see the blessings on the other side of this? So tell us, because you have got another book coming out in the spring, which I want to get to. So very exciting. That's the one where you're going to be publishing with Landon Hill Press. Yay! Get on way. I'll be the first one to buy your book. I love that.
Thank you.
Cannot wait.
I know you will.
I cannot wait. I'm so thrilled just getting a chance to talk with you in the early stages of it as you were writing. And then, by the way, ironically, you just happened to be in California or going.
I know. So weird.
Wasn't that funny? Because where are you now?
New York. Yeah.
In New York. Because you were in New York and I was in California. And then I don't remember if you were You were on that retreat with something when we talked.
I was, I was like in your backyard, just coincidentally,
Wild. I could feel it. I could feel us. We were being drawn together. But we're very excited about that book. Before we get into that exciting book, can you tell us a little bit about this incredible book you have recently co-authored that has hit bestseller? One of the authors, right, is Tony Robbins.
He endorsed the book, yes.
Oh, endorse the book. That's right. Okay.
Yes.
And you do talk about in your chapter that you contributed to this incredible book, you talk about steer clear and anchor. Can we talk a little bit about, tell us what the book is and tell us a little bit about this. I keep wanting to say method. What do you call it? The steer?
Yeah, a method or a framework. Yeah. I will interchangeably use those words. Yes. Yeah. It's very much what you were just talking about. It's this idea. The chapter is called The Power of Perspective and how to shift from when you have obstacles in your life. There are different ways to look at things. And you were talking about resistance, and you were talking about how we could go into something even feeling fearful or panicked about something, but there is another way that we can look at things. And so Steer Clear and Anchor is a method that I've developed over these 20 years that pulls together so much of the wisdom that I've gotten from counseling, the counseling world, from cognitive behavioral therapy, from energy work, from just coaching in general. Is a beautiful way to draw out of ourselves. One, first, we have to acknowledge that what you're going through is real. One of the things that we don't want to do in the process of trying to pivot or change our perspective is blow past the reality that you're going to have real human feelings when things are not going the way that you would have preferred them. You know, like in that moment when you're preparing for your TEDx, you may be feeling fear, and there is this physiologically similar approach that you can look at, which is you might just be excited about this. This is a huge opportunity. And they feel and look very similar. Sweaty hands, beating heart, you know, racing heart rate, all of those things are fearful and excited. And so you can just offer, well, maybe you're just excited, but if you're feeling fear in the moment, you actually want to give yourself as a human being the space to feel those feelings. As a therapist, it's really important to me personally that we don't just bypass with spirituality or with mental changes that we can use, perspective shifts that we can use, the reality that human beings are meant to feel feelings, and that not all of the feelings that we have are sunny and sunshine and puppies and kittens. Some of them are really painful feelings. And if we don't give ourselves the space to feel those feelings, think those thoughts, then we're going to loop into them over and over again. We don't want to spend an exorbitant amount of time, like years, feeling those feelings, but we do want to create a space for them. So that's at least a caveat that I will add into the conversation, is that we can pivot in the way that we're thinking, feeling, and being, but we can't do so until we give a space for how we're actually feeling in the moment.
That makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. So much sense. Feel the feelings, but also, like you said, don't get stuck in them for so long that it becomes a debilitating thing where you can't move forward. And it becomes unhealthy. I like that you clarified there is that healthy way of feeling those feelings and accepting that this is normal and validating those feelings, making sure that, you know, you're not crazy for feeling like this. It makes sense.
It does.
But at the same time, moving on. Moving through it, I should say. Moving on could even be difficult. Can you talk to us a little bit about how we do that?
Yeah. So that's what the Steer Clear and Anchor method is really designed to do. What we do in the process is it's really an acronym to begin with. Steer, in this case, is spelled STEAR, and it stands for situations, thoughts, emotions, actions, and results. And what we're doing in this process is we're working on separating out a list. So we're looking at steer clear and anchor down a page two times in the real framework, if you were to do this from a self-coaching perspective. And we're sorting through in our brain. We're not judging our different thoughts, emotions, and actions. What we're doing is we're starting to sort through what are some unproductive, unloving, disempowering ways to think, some emotions that we might have about the situation that we're in, and some actions that we could follow up on that might produce some unproductive results on the left-hand side of the page, versus challenging our mind and dragging ourselves potentially into the other side of the page, which is where we're looking at more loving, productive, empowering thoughts, emotions, actions, and results. So we're putting ourselves to work in front of ourselves. And this is one of the small but really critical points, is that human beings will do this thing called ruminating, which in psychology is thinking over and over and over and over and over again about the same thing. Yes, it's very common. Yes, where we are stuck in our head, for lack of a better way to say it. And we naturally overwhelm ourselves by trying to sort through it as only in between our ears. But the act of removing it from our brain through our arms, through a pen, onto paper, and then externalizing it in front of ourselves and looking at it differently, or being in a coaching relationship with someone and going through the same exercise with somebody else, mirroring with you or talking it through with you, is incredibly valuable to create some distance between the situation that you're actually in and a different way of thinking about it. And so that's the first part of the process, is going through that back and forth where you're sorting through. This is an unloving thought. This is an empowering thought. This is the feeling that I no longer want. This is a feeling that I want to grow. This is an emotion that I want to have. This is an action that would make my results not so great. And this is an action that would create a trajectory of leverage or health or wellness or love or whatever it is you're looking to create. And so you go through that separation exercise, and then the clear and the anchor, the last part of the framework, is clearing is a spiritual discipline where you're releasing that which no longer serves you. And that can look like so many different things. It could look like a really great run. It could look like a Reiki session. It could look like emotional freedom technique. It could look like burning a piece of paper or a forgiveness exercise. And then anchoring is about, how are we going to put these new habits into place? How are we going to keep them going? This can look like a mantra or an affirmation. This can look like tracking or having a plan in place or a great organizational system for ourselves. We can put that into place so that we can not fall back into the old patterns that were so available to us. We're anchoring in a new way of being. And so this process is something that I do with people all day, every day on the phone and coaching calls, but then also I give to my clients so that in the moment when they're in their life or in their business, they have it available to them to use no matter the circumstance. Because we don't always have our coach in front of us, and stuff happens all the time in entrepreneurship and parenting or whatever you're going through. You have to be able to sort through those things on your own too.
I really love the acronym, because when you, just like you said, if you don't have your coach in front of you, if you don't have the person to reach out to right away, you can kind of just remember, okay, what do those things mean again? And I need to make sure I'm validating those emotions and making sure that, like you said, is this a productive way to be thinking about this? Or is this a thought and a feeling that is no longer serving me, and I'm finding myself getting on the wrong side of the page?
Right. And
it's interesting. You talked about, I liked that visual. You even put your hands up over your head, and you almost said, instead of having it all up here, you can like take it out.
Yes.
As processing through it, where you're not just all in your head and you are ruminating, or like I can get on a loop. My son can get like that. Even my daughter can get like that. We've actually had brain mapping done and done neurofeedback. And we have seen that that is definitely something. I'm a professional organizer. It's probably not going to surprise you that I have OCD tendencies. Okay. I mean, I've built a business on these things that I can sometimes be at war with in my body. And thankfully, it has become such a beautiful release for me with organization. And that's what I find can be so helpful for people. So even like you mentioned, it can look different for different people and how you want to tackle those things and how you want to be more productive. But even just that asking for help and having someone come in and help you declutter, because that physical clutter can take up space in your brain and become mental clutter. But I really like how you said it's like a visual thing where you take it out of your head and you have more of almost like an objective view. And one of the things that I like to talk about is writing things down. I do everything in threes. So talking about like jotting three things down that you can focus on at a time, because when you write it down, it makes it real and it makes it actionable. And it sounds like your framework, I finally got it right this time. I said framework, not method. That framework does feel like it's so action-based. That's what's important, because that's how we're not going to be stuck anymore, right? We're going to take action.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. And sometimes the action is very insular, very individual, and it's more about what we need personally. And sometimes it's momentum and movement. But either way, we're not stuck in the same plateau or doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Definition of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, quick reminder, you can now get my book in four different ways. head over to Amazon and search up I've Got You Girlfriend. The subtitle is Why Getting Organized and Living This Mom Life is Not a Solo Mission. You can find it there on e-reader, that's through the Kindle app, paperback, hardcover, and the audiobook. So if you're enjoying this podcast, I have a feeling you may love the audiobook. Again, it's called I've Got You Girlfriend, Why Getting Organized and Living This Mom Life is Not a Solo Mission. Thanks so much for making it a bestseller, and back to the show. Okay, so tell us, is this the kind of thing and more that you're going to be diving into in your new book that we're all going to go out and get in the spring? I'll make sure I'm posting it everywhere. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, in true SJ fashion, one of the major pivots that I had was this book. I definitely started the process of writing the book where Steer Clear and Anchor was, that was the idea, right? It was let's bring this framework. And I started the book thinking, chapter one, situation, chapter two, thoughts, chapter three is emotions. And I went through this very rote process of looking at the framework, and SJ's beautiful guidance, she, you know, drew it out of me, drew more out of me than I have shared with people ever. I'm naturally an introverted person. I am naturally a mental health practitioner. We have HIPAA compliance. We're taught to leave ourselves outside of the therapy room, outside of the coaching room. And so this is something that I've had to break of myself. And this book cracked me way more open than I possibly could have imagined. So yes, the general framework is the framework. And it's certainly one of the chapters. However, I'm sharing myself in this book in ways that I never imagined. I'm sharing myself as a case study. I'm sharing my own personal development, even some of the things that I've been through in my life, as well as a lot of client stories to help illustrate some of these principles that I've learned over so many different challenges that I've been through and so many different beautiful representations of growth and transformation that I've seen in my career with the clients that I've served. So the book is called The Integrated Entrepreneur, and it's how do we be the greatest expression of who we choose to be? How do we fulfill our purpose, actualize our potential, and live our mission in real living color through growing our business? Because I believe that business is a brilliantly disguised personal development plan, and that it really just shows us all the parts of us that really need attention, whether we want to see them or not. And so this book is that in real time. It gives you some concrete actionable tools in every single chapter, things that you can be doing in the moment. It comes with a workbook so that you can start to integrate some of the tools that are offered in the book, and you get those stories along the way to help you with the learning.
I love that so much. And I'm so grateful that there is that workbook component, because again, when we write things down, makes it real, makes it actionable. You're validating those thoughts and emotions like you're talking about, and you're finding a way to move through it in such a healthy, productive way. I love that. And I will tell you, I completely understand. We talked about this that day that we got to meet on that Zoom call. It is therapy for the author when we write a book. Mm-hmm. It is the therapist now going through therapy, and it's wild how, well, SJ is so great about this. We call her something different. Sam, Samantha, Joy.
I know, she's one person.
And if you really get to know her, you know she has a whole other side, and we call that side Star. And we don't call it Star. Star is fabulous, and she gets stuff done. Right, Sam? I know you're listening right now. We love Star. We love all of the different versions of her. She's so fantastic. We should all have this like alter ego that just, you know.
We do. Beyonce. We all do.
Yeah. Beyonce is Sasha Fierce also when she takes the stage. You know, it's like our inner Beyonce or inner Sasha Fierce or Star in her case. But I will tell you that I'm so grateful that you have found a way to navigate getting this book into the world with these very important, you know, the case studies and the facts and the framework. That is huge. And I can identify so much like when you said, oh yeah, chapter one is going to be this. And then it was going to be this. And then I ended up, before I met SJ, I actually met Jessica Killingly, who was my editor, who I worked with on the book a couple of years prior to meeting Sam. And so I had actually worked with her before I got to Sam. Sam was the one that helped me end up naming my book, I've Got You Girlfriend. Because I thought it was just going to be like my company name, everything was style, and it was going to have a generic searchable subtitle. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I tried to And she was like, oh no, where's the heart? Where are you? Kind of thing. You know, she's so good at that. She's so good at that. And Jessica Killingly, my editor and agent from earlier before I met her, she really, when you say cracks you wide open, I understand that. Because she said, go live your life, go be a mom, and then come back and write these things from that perspective of living your life. Write about you, write about some of the hard stuff, write about the struggles. Let me just tell you, chapter 9, Legos in the Bedroom, maybe chapter 10. I got stuck on it for a long time because I had this awesome client that I went and worked with, and she, and I tell the story all the time, I haven't told it for a while. She had a ton of Legos in her main bedroom that she and her husband shared because the kids had infiltrated their, you know, their personal space. And there were tons of Legos. There were like boxes of Legos. And I joke about the Lego Ninja Warrior on their nightstand that totally warded off, you know, completely warded off any kind of like sexy time with the hubs. Like, no, that was not happening. You know, just, and the big joke was the Lego Ninja Warrior was in the way and all that kind of stuff. But what it did is it made me have to look into my marriage, look into some things that were going on with me, some things that had come from parenting struggles that were coming into the marriage, you know, where you can like be totally on the same page one day and the next day you're like, wait a second, this isn't what we talked about, or this isn't what I was feeling, and I don't think we should do it that way. And that kind of stuff comes up, and that's the kind of stuff that they said, write about it. That's what people identify with. And that chapter, it held me up for like an additional month or so because I just got so stuck because I was like, I need to deal with this before I can write about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you find in that writing process that there were some times that you had to push pause and deal with some things and figure out how you were going to move through that?
Yeah. It took me a full year to write the book well before I met Sam. And absolutely. There was a lot of resistance. I had tons of my own spiraling up and down. You know, you're being kind when you said that you met me in California and that we were having an author conversation, but I was a mess that day. I was crying and moving through these different parts of me and the vulnerability shame that I was feeling and the courage that I needed to muster up to share some of these stories, but also being a mom deciding like, how am I going to protect my people? How am I going to be safe enough and vulnerable enough? How am I going to be courageous enough, but also make sure that I'm doing my due diligence as a business owner, as a mental health therapist, and as a mom first and foremost, so that my kids can be proud of me when they read the book and not feel any other things besides proud of me and our family and where we come from. And so it was a crisis of conscience and I had to go through it. And it continues to be a challenge at times because of my natural introverted self, but I'm more proud of the courage that I brought to the table than I ever imagined I would be. And while I'm still nervous about people reading my story, my mom read the book and she's like, I didn't know some of this stuff about you. Even my own mother didn't know some of the things that I shared in the book. And so it was definitely an absolute journey in the process and definitely not a straight line.
Oh, yes. Oh, especially, you know, gosh, being an entrepreneur, that is not linear, but also just being a human being. I mean, honestly, right? Yeah. And that's what I'm sure you see on a regular basis.
That's the whole point. That's holistic coaching, is that, of course, when you look at something in your book or you are looking at a chapter about Legos, of course, it's going to show you parts of yourself in your marriage and then also in your business. And that's exactly the premise of the entire book. My entire business is about that, that who you are anywhere is who you are everywhere. And so use these little clues, the Ninja Warrior on the bedside table, to show you parts of you that maybe you're resisting and show you parts of you that maybe you can grow into more deeply. And so, yes, absolutely. I see that all the time.
Well, I'm just going to say it again. I'll be first in line to get this book because it really feels like you're speaking my language. It feels like something I need. It feels like there are going to be things that I have worked on in my life, internally, externally, that I know are going to come back up because it's not linear. And because just because we've gone through a season of our lives and we've done okay and we've survived that time doesn't mean that it's not going to come back in some other way. And so I just feel like this is going to be a resource that I'm constantly going back to. I'm so proud of you, your children, your whole family. They are all going to be proud of you. And we run that risk of putting ourselves out there. And there may be some people that don't particularly like the way that we say things. And at the same time, it's not their story to tell. It's mm-hmm. not their business. If they want to get something from it, they can. But it's really important for our journey to make sure that we are being open and honest and sharing the real us. And those are the people that we want to trust. Those are the people we want to encounter, right? We want to be surrounded by those people who are not holding back and hiding from things. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to go on and share every single detail about your life, but there is a certain vulnerability that is important, especially if you're an author, especially if you're a therapist in coaching and things like that. When people are consuming the information that you're putting out there, that you're really showing up as a real person. And that's what I got from you the day that we got on that Zoom call. It's so funny that you say that you were a mess. I didn't get a mess. I got, I didn't get that. I didn't read it that way. I got, you were a person who was doing some necessary work in your life.
Yeah.
That was so important. That was going to propel you forward. And then you get to help other people through that. So I didn't get mess at all. I got,
you know, sometimes it feels messy.
What do they say? Make your mess your message. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and I appreciate you again, being generous with that. It is so true. And it's also not easy, and we don't have to chalk it up to be easy. I think it would be doing a disservice to entrepreneurs, to moms, to future authors to say that it is an easy process to go through. If it's easy, you probably kept yourself on the surface and you're missing half of the point, and you're going to have to relearn those lessons anyway. And with that said, even though it is a challenge, we don't also want to wait for the other shoe to drop. We don't want to avoid doing the thing that we have the call for, because we also have a responsibility to continue to grow. I love how you spoke about how the book is not going to be for everybody, and it's going to naturally repel some people. It's not going to be their story, but also it's not going to be for them. It might just not be a good fit. And this, one of the things that I really came to in the process of writing this book is that there are levels of consciousness, and everybody is going to read the book with where they are in their life, and they're going to get what they're meant to get, and they're going to resist what they need to learn still. And that's not my responsibility. Mine is an invitation. It's an offer. You can take it or you can resist it. Either way, you don't have to accept the invitation. And so it's out there in the world, and what other people do with it, that's up to them.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. I love the idea of that being an invitation. Mm-hmm. And then should they choose to accept it? I hope they do. It's going to just be so good. And you've got all this incredible experience, and now you're bringing a lot of your personal experience and client experience to the table. And I think people are really, it's going to resonate with them. I think it's going to help so many people. I am curious if you could leave us with your best advice, I'll use that word, for pivoting. If you're in the middle of a transition, what would you say has been something that's helped you a lot that helps you whenever you come upon those changes or maybe those roadblocks or those times of limbo when you don't really know what's to come and you're facing something that's unknown? And what do you think you feel like is a go-to way that you've pivoted the best in the past?
The advice that I would give is what I do in the moment of that liminal space, that transitional space, is I tend to think body, mind, spirit. I tend to think to myself, what does my body need right now? We do, so many people skip the level of the body and just try to power through. And yeah, it's very common. It's very common. Sometimes the body doesn't feel safe. And if that's the work that needs to be done, then that's where we have to start our attention. And so what is some practice? First of all, what does the body need in this transition? And what practice can I give myself to calm the central nervous system, to calm the body, to take a deep breath or a sigh, just like you did so beautifully? Doesn't have to be a huge thing, just a moment. Because if we are in fight or flight with our body, the other two parts, the mind and the spirit, are going to be offline. That's just how the body works. It does not allow the neocortex, the higher thinking brain, to come into play. And it certainly doesn't get us connected to our highest expression of who we are if we can't even have the body working in that moment. So there's tons and tons and tons of ways, and just getting curious and exploring, what does my body need right now in order to move through this transition, whether it's a tiny transition or a big one, finding those practices, those calming practices like havening, which is sending some calming signals to our body like that. Yeah, that's a real practice, havening. Something like that to calm the central nervous system. And then we say, okay, what does my mind need right now? And steer clear and anchor starts as a very mental process, like journaling, processing, therapy, coaching. What can you, calling a friend, even just sorting through some of those mental realm between the ears kind of thoughts. What does my mind need to move through this transition? And then after you settle through some of the mind and body needs, how can you tap into the highest expression of who you choose to be? What is your mission? What is your purpose? What are your values? What is your inner knowing, your intuition, and your calling inviting you into? How can you reconnect to your why and really dive into your divine calling in this moment? Because when you remember your why, you honor your mind and your body, you'll be able to put one foot in front of the other and move through that transition and make another choice and get curious and just frankly be a lot more graceful, and it will be a lot more enjoyable to be able to go through that experience, whatever it may be.
Oh, you got me. That's what I needed to hear. Thank you so much. I mean, all of this was good from the second we started talking, but I needed to hear that because I can often forget the body component, yeah, and then I'll physically get run down.
Yes.
And I was like to give my mom a shout out because she's such a sweet supporter and she's always listening to all these episodes. Hey mom, I know you're listening.
Hi mom.
Love it. She knows that if I'm working on something big, so like, let's say right now it's the TEDx thing, right?
Yeah.
She knows me and she knows that if that is something big that I'm working on, or the book, or starting a podcast, or starting a second podcast, or, you know, maybe it's even something that I'm working on, you know, the kids, maybe there's a birthday party or a surprise for the husband and the anniversary or whatever it is. If there's something big, I tend to stop listening to what my body needs. And then after it's over, I crash. And so that's not sustainable long-term, and I need to get better at that. And I will say over the years, I have recognized that a lot more, but even and thank you for giving me that credit, taking that deep breath that I've learned is massive. That's a big shift for me. And it seems like such a little thing, but just stopping and taking a really good cleansing deep breath. And now I know what havening is.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that before.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach that to my kids.
I use it with the kiddos too. Yeah. So start at your collarbones, move down your shoulders, your biceps, your forearms, and your palms. Just a couple times. There's a lot of evidence and science behind it.
That is.
Yeah. I would invite you into then in that case that your body is your priority. Every morning I ask my body, what do you need today? What do you need to be the highest expression of who you are? That was a huge evolution. I was similar to you for so many years, where it's that masculine push, grind, force, go, 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 go. This is so common for moms because we're wearing our hearts on our sleeves. Our babies become our priority, but it's the old, you need to put your oxygen mask on first in order to serve them. This is so common for entrepreneurs, especially female entrepreneurs, because of the people pleasing and the need to, you know, take care of everyone else. But it is the reverse. Things will go so much better for you if you start with caring for what your physical form needs, your mental abilities need, and also your spiritual expression. But starting with the body for you in particular, if you're knowing this about yourself, that can be a huge shift that you can offer.
Thank you. I just suddenly am like, I think it's time for me to book a massage for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And on monthly recurring massage, my dear.
I have a girlfriend, got to shout somebody else out. Natalie Mitchell. She runs incredible marathons. She's not even human. I really question if she's human. She's amazing.
I got a friend like that too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love her so much. And she talks about the need in her training to have massages. And I haven't had a massage in years. And that always
no.
Yeah. She's like, what? Peggy,
no.
What? Yeah, but I'm not out running marathons. And she's like, it doesn't matter.
Yes, you are. You're running a mom marathon. You're running a business marathon. Do you know that a TEDx prep is marathon?
I need a lot of deep breaths.
I'm going to be after you, Paige, to schedule that massage. You officially have an accountability partner.
Thank you for that. I need it. Thank you for that. And if you need more of Rayanne, okay, do you like that transition? Here we go.
I did. Here I am.
Yes. If you need more of her in your life, which we all do, and we are all going to be first in line to get, I guess we can't all be first in line, but we're all going to try to be first in line.
Be right behind Paige.
Yes. Yeah, everybody else can be second and third, but I will be first. To get that book, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, because I know this is typically how Sam does it. When Landon Hill Press, when we are launching that book, we will do the Kindle version first.
Yeah.
To make sure that that is at a very small price so we can jump on that. I will be first in line to get that Kindle and then cannot wait for paperback and hardcover if you choose to do it. And by the way, if you want to do an audiobook, I can set you up with my people too.
All right, good to know.
it's just like all the ways we would like to have Rayanne in our life. But in the moment, tell us we can connect with you right now.
Yeah, just like it was difficult to pronounce my name, it's also difficult to spell it. And so I'm hopeful you have show notes to find me, rayannelacatina.com. So I'm the only one in the world, Rayanne Lacatina, gratefully, but you will have a difficult time spelling it. So I'm on Instagram, Rayanne Lacatina. I'm on LinkedIn, is where I spend most of my time, actually, at Rayanne Lacatina there. And my website is rayannelacatina.com. So you can find me all those different ways, but exactly the same way.
Amazing. I am going to drop all those links in show notes for sure for you to go to. And I'm just adding another thing to my mental checklist of things I need to check in with you about. I need to be better about being on LinkedIn for sure.
I am there,
but I never post there. So I need to make sure that I'm doing that. So I'm going to be getting on and seeing all the stuff that you're doing there. And hopefully that'll inspire me to be doing it as well. But thank you so much for being here today. Yes. I know it's going to be good, man. You dropped some good golden nuggets and wisdom. And I'm just going to keep going back and listening to this over and over. And then of course, getting that book as well. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me and for being healthy. And we did it. We did it.
We absolutely did. And it's so funny because after all this, you know, making sure that we rescheduled and we got here before we even hit record, I was like, well, I guess we also need to be scheduling a second one, because when the book comes out, we're going to need to be talking all the time.
I would be honored.
Sounds great. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and listening today. I will talk to you all next week. Rayanne, don't go anywhere. I'm going to keep talking to you after this for just a few more minutes. Thank you all. And please make sure that you are checking out those show notes and checking out how Rayanne can be more in your life as well, because she's a good one. She's a good one to have. Thanks again so much. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Time to Pivot podcast. If it was helpful for you, I'd love for you to head over to Apple Podcasts, hit that 5th star, and write a review. Want to book me to speak at your next event or work with me one-on-one to get clarity around your gifts, how to serve others, and go from stuck and stressed to focused and fulfilled? Reach out on the contact page at everythingwithstyle.com and connect with me on social at everythingwithstylemom. Thanks again for listening and sharing the podcast. And mom boss, remember this, your gifts are meant to be shared. Don't keep them to yourself and stay in your comfort zone. This is your time to pivot.